Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Face Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080, 96.5 TICFM and Light 100.5 WRCH. Aaron Kupek with you this Sunday morning, and we are pleased to be joined by the Commissioner of the State Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, Katie Dykes. Good morning to you, Commissioner.
Good morning, Aaron. Great to be with you.
Well, it is a busy Memorial Day weekend in Connecticut, the first holiday weekend under the new normal of the COVID-19 pandemic. And your message to visitors to state parks and forests, which are going to be busy this weekend.
Well, now more than ever, our state park system is providing a really critical outlet for folks. We've been all hunkered down at home, staying safe, staying home during these last 8 weeks. And I know the weather is just gorgeous and people are excited to get outside. And so our message is our park system is open, but our operations are going to be a little different this year, and we're excited to be able to make a lot of things that we know people love to do, like visit our shoreline parks, enjoy a little time on the beach, doing some swimming. We're making that available, but in different ways so that we can keep people safe. And so, you know, as we've been adapting our plans here at DEEP, we're really looking to the public to follow along with some simple rules and guidelines that so we can help keep them safe and be able to maintain our park system open as we head into the summer season.
So how will things be different than, say, Memorial Day weekend last year?
Well, we know that we've had a really significant increase in visitors to our parks over the last 8 weeks. People, as you know, fewer other opportunities are available to folks. You know, Little League is shut down. your gym is closed. So as you know, things are beginning to reopen, but many of those types of activities may not be available. We know that we're going to continue to see increased numbers of visitors coming through the summer months. So what's going to be different for folks? Well, the rules are now getting pretty familiar. Maintaining 6 feet of distance between yourself and other visitors, really important. Minimizing group sizes. So we're asking folks to come to our parks to enjoy some solitary recreation or come with members of your immediate household. We're not allowing groups of more than five. That includes household members. So, you know, come in small groups with the folks you're living with. And we are going to be allowing swimming at our shoreline parks this year, not at the inland parks. And I'll talk about why that is. Swimming, it's not out of a concern that people could catch the virus or that it could be transmitted in the water. It's more about the crowding that occurs onshore on the beach when we see, you know, visitors coming to enjoy those opportunities to get in the water. And we just simply have more space at the shoreline parks to be able to accommodate that. But at a lot of the inland parks, those beaches are tiny, and we see crowding happening even out when we don't have a pandemic going on. So we've made the decision for the time being that we will be allowing swimming at our shoreline parks and not at the inland parks. But what that means is folks need to think, you know, again, think about maintaining distance and maintaining space. So on the beaches, a good rule of thumb is 15 feet as you shake out your beach blanket and get set up. Think about maintaining about 15 feet of distance between you and the next group. That will give folks 6 feet on either side, plus a 3-foot walkway in between. We think that's a good rule of thumb as people think about how to stay safe on the beach. But one of the most important things that people can do is to plan ahead and have some alternative backup plans in mind. One of the key ways that we're able to keep our parks open, and especially our really popular shoreline parks during the summer season, is that we have lowered the amount of parking capacity that we can provide at those parks. We've been monitoring this for the last several weeks to get a sense of at what level of visitor numbers things start to get more challenging as far as maintaining social distancing. And so we are closing our parks when they reach that parking capacity level. And in some locations, that could be as little as 25% of the regular parking capacity. And when we close, when we reach that level for the day, the park closes. And so we're not allowing new visitors to come in. Those parks do reopen the next day, but folks will be seeing as these parks are really popular, especially on weekends when the weather is nice and during the afternoons. We know that's a peak time when we see a lot of visitors. That's when you'll see the number of park closures happening in real time, you know, more frequently around the state. So we're encouraging people. You can always go on our Twitter page at CT State Parks. You don't need to actually have a Twitter account to check that. You can just Google it. And that's where we're providing real-time information about parks that have closed for capacity for the day. So that's the most important thing people can do, is just before you set out, check the Twitter page. If you arrive at a park and you find that it's closed, the gates are closed, don't engage in a debate with our staff. You know, choose another park location, or think about your backup plan, another place to go, or come back at a different time or on a different day. Again, we're going to have lower capacity. We'll continue to maintain this is open, but it's going to mean that, you know, some folks may be disappointed to find out that what they were looking to do that day just isn't going to be available.
Now, when it comes to visiting state parks, I know out-of-staters enjoy Connecticut state parks. Are they welcome this year?
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, you know, from a legal perspective, we aren't in the business of excluding residents. We can't discriminate against out-of-state residents on any basis. But, you know, we know that these capacity limits are going to be applying at the parks. We haven't seen high numbers of visitors coming from out-of-state. Just in the monitoring we've been doing, we are encouraging, and I know Governor Lamont is joined with governors across the Northeast in sharing these messages with folks. Stay close to home. We want everyone to enjoy, you know, we have great parks here in our state. Connecticut residents enjoy them. It's the same in other states as well. So we're all across the region just encouraging folks to look for opportunities that are close to home as they think about getting outdoors this season. We are also able to provide free parking for all Connecticut residents, thanks to the Passport to Parks program that came into place in 2017. With a modest fee on vehicle registrations, we're able to support all the operations of our state parks, including what we've been able to accomplish over this past spring in keeping our park system open when we saw many states around the region were closing theirs. So it's a really important program. And through that program, we're able to not have to charge for parking for Connecticut residents. But we are implementing charges on park for non-residents. And you'll see that in place at many very shoreline parks.
Now, you mentioned swimming is not allowed at the inland parks, but it is allowed at the shoreline parks this weekend. Are lifeguards on duty this weekend?
Mm-hmm. So we are not providing lifeguards yet this season. In part, we are, you know, adapting to new guidance that's come out from the American Red Cross to ensure that our lifeguards are properly trained. Also, that we have adequate PPE for them as well. It's really important to us. So we need to keep them safe so that they can keep everyone else safe. So at this time, we are not providing lifeguards on duty, but as we are able to get those resources in place and continue with our hiring and ramping up to the full season, we'll be updating the status on the availability of lifeguards as well.
You mentioned there might be a conversation or two at park gates when parks are full. I can also imagine there might be conversations on the beach if one person thinks another person is getting too close. What's the best way to handle that?
You know, I'll just say personally, there's a lot of stress and anxiety. You know, we're trying our best. People are learning new rules. We're having to change, you know, old behaviors. And there's a lot of concern for many of us about, you know, the risks of exposure from, you know, our neighbors and people in the community that we're encountering in everyday spaces. So, look, I think that it just goes with just a friendly request, you know, taking a positive tone, leading by example. Those are really important things, explaining, you know, your concerns to someone, but also don't hesitate to share your concerns with our park staff. We have environmental conservation officers that are going to be present. They're on the ground in these park locations, especially on these busy weekends. We have been in this business for many weeks now, intervening and educating park visitors about these new social distancing guidelines. And so again, you know, when we put out something like a recommendation for 15 feet, we're not coming around with tape measures, you know, to check that down to the 3/4 of an inch. But we don't have the staffing to do that. But all of these practices, you know, in aggregate are what is able to get us there to help keep minimizing the spread of coronavirus. And so again, perfection and perfect 100% compliance may not be possible, but it's about how we talk to each other and educate in a positive way that will ensure that people know what to do and how to stay safe. I will say that over the last several weeks, as we've had our park system open, we've been monitoring on a daily basis how it's going with the social distancing. We've learned a lot, you know, in aggregate. I mean, there have been some circumstances where we've had some crowding in certain locations. We've made some targeted closures. We have closures of our indoor facilities, closures of the boardwalk connector, for example, at Silver Sands, where it just really wasn't feasible to have two-way traffic on that feature. We've made some targeted tweaks to our operations to help people do the right thing. And where we've, you know, had some challenges, we've learned how to intervene and educate folks on doing the right thing. I'm really proud of what our park staff and our environmental conservation officers, and frankly, all of our essential employees at DEEP have done to be able to maintain these facilities in a safe way. It's really shown how our mission has helped people, you know, stay the course with the governor's directives to minimize the coronavirus spread. And we're happy to do our part, and we appreciate what the public has been doing as well to adapt to these challenging times. As I've been out at parks, you know, talking with our staff and talking with members of the public, you know, people have been doing a really pretty good job, I would say, in following the social distancing rules. They want to do the right thing, and they've been coming up and saying, you know, thanks for keeping the parks open. We want to continue to keep these facilities open through the summer. A lot of it is going to depend on how well people do and following these rules. And so we'll be watching closely, helping to update people on what to do. And hopefully, you know, we'll all be able to get through this in a positive way.
You're listening to Face Connecticut. We are talking to Katie Dykes, the commissioner of the State Department of Energy and Environmental Protection. Now, as you noted, some states decided to close their parks and beaches as part of pandemic shutdowns. Connecticut made the conscious decision to keep them open. What went into that decision?
Well, you know, I think it starts with, you know, the governor early on in March and talking with him. You know, he observed to me, look, people have got to have an outlet. They've got to have something they can do. It's really important, you know, for your sanity to be able to get outside at some point. To make this, you know, again, this is not an emergency that we're in for a couple of days and then it's over. This is, we have to be able to stay the course for the duration. And that was really his sense. And then of course, in talking with our team at DEEP, you know, we have, we're so blessed to have a terrific staff and folks who've been helping to maintain these parks for decades. And there's a real sense of, okay, how can we adapt our rules? What can we do to make this possible? So with respect to picnicking, for example, we realized when the limitations on group size of 5 or more came in, we were going to need to do something there. And right away, our team started to move to segregate some of the tables, stack the picnic tables, post the signage again. This has been the name of the game. Is there's no playbook for this. So it's been about collaborative decision making and making changes really quickly to keep people safe. So, you know, that's what's enabled us to keep going during this time. But really, Aaron, so much of it has been about not just what we've been doing, but what the public has been doing. As people have shown us that they can follow these rules, that they understand the importance of doing so, that's what's been made it possible for us here in Connecticut to keep our system open.
Now, Memorial Day weekend is just the start of the busy summer season. What might state parks and forests look like this summer? Pretty much what we're seeing this weekend, or are things going to be evolving?
Oh, Aaron, with everything having to do with COVID-19, it's constantly evolving. Which way it breaks will be a great question. To the extent that we see how things have gone, particularly with respect to the beaches over this weekend and in the coming few weeks, and this looks like something we can continue to maintain safely. We'll be looking at how do we reopen restrooms. Is there any provision for reopening concessions and snack stands and next steps? But our priority has to be around keeping people safe. So again, we've been constantly on a daily basis the monitoring reports that are getting from staff and from our environmental conservation officers. We've also been privileged to have good coordination and dialogue with our municipal partners. We know, again, part of the success we've had in the last several weeks is that there are a lot of different options for the public. Not only have we kept our municipal or our state parks open, but land trusts have stayed open. Those are great opportunities for people to get out and take a hike all around the state in our wonderful open spaces, as well as many municipal parks. So the more options that people have, the more we can spread visitors around and have in any one location and hopefully be able to continue to that strategy going forward. Another that we've been discussing and we hope to have some updates on soon relates to campgrounds. These are really, really popular sites across that we're able to provide for youth camping, for our campgrounds. We did need to let people know so they could make plans. We weren't able to reopen campgrounds as of yet. So we've canceled reservations through June 11th. Assess needs that we have for keeping those grounds safe. You know, it's not just about people out in campsites. There's restrooms and bathhouses that bring our staff and our visitors into close interaction with each other at many of the campgrounds. So as we are working on guidelines and assessing the availability of personal equipment and training for our staff, we'll be making decisions about whether or when we could reopen some of that those functions to the public.
So just to be clear, if you have the proper distance on the beach, you don't have to be wearing the mask all the time, correct?
That's right. That's right. Yep. And but if you keep it with you, and to the extent that that distance can't be maintained, slide it up and you're all set.
If there's any silver lining about the pandemic, do you think it might be that people are discovering, perhaps for the first time, state parks and forests? And do you think the volume that we're seeing now is going to remain once restrictions are lifted?
I am so excited about, you know, this aspect, which is how many first-time visitors we've had to our parks. And how even folks who have been coming to the parks for years or who may be aware of them have really rediscovered the value that they're providing. One of the great things about Connecticut is that we have a park within 15 minutes drive of every man, woman, and child in the state. It's part of the reason that, or it's one of the things that people cite when they talk about the great quality of life that keeps them here or has attracted them to living in Connecticut. And that asset, those assets of those outdoor recreation opportunities, together with municipal parks and land trusts, which we have been stewarding for decades through really strong policies here in the state, we have been able to see the benefit of those investments in prioritizing open space during this pandemic. So, have had some great interaction with the Connecticut Outdoor Retailers Association, There's hundreds of businesses across the state that have grown up around supporting outdoor recreation and great quality of life and in our state parks and other locations. And so they are really providing a tremendous service in getting people equipped and helping provide training and resources for folks who are rediscovering the value of spending a little time outside, especially during stressful times. So I couldn't be more proud to serve as the commissioner of a department that is able to provide that outdoor recreation opportunity for folks during this time. And I couldn't be prouder of our staff and our team that are helping support that as well. It's an essential part of our mission, and we're really glad to be doing it.
Okay. Now, you talked about packing in, packing out when it comes to rubbish at state parks. And this past week, Connecticut restarted its bottle redemption program. It's kind of in a soft relaunch, I suppose, at this point. What is going on there? Because I know, I'm guessing at least, a lot of folks probably have the bottles and cans piling up in their garages.
That's right. So earlier this year, right after the beginning of our pandemic response, we heard from a lot of our grocery stores about their concerns for having the availability of PPE for their staff and just a lot of the other operational challenges that they were dealing with in providing this essential service of grocery sales to the public, which is so vital during this time. In response to their concerns, we provided some flexibility by suspending or exercising some of our enforcement discretion with respect to requiring the redemption opportunity at all retail locations. Very important, Erin. There are redemption centers located across the state, more than 15 of them, that have remained open and operating all during this time. I visited one in West Haven about a week and a half ago, and it was, up and running, fully operational, and saw a lot of folks there who were bringing their stash of redeemable containers. So that's a great message. People can get information about the location of those redemption centers on our DEEP website. And then beginning on May 20th, we had started with the resumption of that enforcement. And so we've been working with grocery stores, with liquor stores, and other retail locations as they've been phasing back in redemption. So your containers have value. Some folks were a little confused that we had suspended the bottle bill. That's not the case. The containers have value. If you've been stockpiling them at home, check ahead at your local grocery store or your favorite redemption location. Some may be limiting the number of containers that anyone can bring at a particular time, just so they can make this manageable. And they're putting in other social distancing measures to keep people safe. Or check for a redemption center in your area if you want to be able to move a volume of containers at one time. But it's a really important program. We've heard from businesses that rely on these recycled materials, how eager they are to get these containers moving back into the system. And we are certainly eager as well at the department.
She is Katie Dykes, Commissioner of the State Department of Energy and Environmental Protection. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Erin, thanks for having me and hope to see you out on the trails.
And if you're looking for a state park or forest that might be less crowded this weekend, you can go to Twitter and follow the hashtag CTTrailsLessTraveled. Thanks for listening to Face Connecticut. I'm Erin Kupek. Enjoy the balance of your weekend.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.